Y'all doing all right? Yeah. Lighten up, man. We're in Cowboy Church. You better be here than be down there downtown in jail. So much rather be here. I promise you, much rather be. We appreciate everybody for coming here today and being a part of what God's doing here at Circle J. And they told the preacher to make an announcement. I'll try not to mess it up. You ready? Anybody here got kids first through third grade? They're gone. They're not in their classroom. They're upstairs. When you pick them up, go upstairs and turn left, okay? There's too many of them. What a wonderful problem to have. They couldn't fit in the room, so they had to go in that big old giant room up there. So, hey, we have been in a series called God's Plan for Circle J Cowboy Church. We've been in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17 is where we're at this week. Turn here. And so far, we have talked about our faith. And it's two things that we want to be known for is our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and our love towards each other. And we've talked about that. We've also talked about how we're to love each other, how we're to show that love towards each other, and then how to love a jerk was even the title of, yeah, I love you now, preacher, but, you know, how to love a jerk. Or maybe it's the guy or the gal that you're married to, whatever it is, but how to love a jerk. And then we talked about what if you can't love someone. That's a real question. And so we've talked about those things, and we're moving on. The next verse in the title of this message is going to be True Wisdom and Revelation Comes from God. So let's look at that together. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 through 17. It says, For this reason, because I have heard, Paul heard of a church like this, and I'm praying we be known by the same thing. I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love towards the saints. And I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Let's pray. Lord, make us this church. Lord, make me the kind of pastor that can pastor and grow this church. Make us the church members that would rather put our faith in you than in our dollars or our jobs or our security. You don't need our dollars, God. You want our faith. So help us to be a church of faith and trust. Turn our fears to courage and our courage to faith and faith to results that you do. And Lord, help us to be a loving church. Help us to love the unlovable. Help us to love the jerks in our life that you allow to be there. Help us to encourage and lift up each other, because this world's doing nothing but tearing us down. So Lord, let this place be a place where we can come and encourage each other to hold the course, to keep our eyes on you and our hands on the plow. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Well, you know, today is pretty dim. I don't watch the news very much, but the other day I was watching the news and they were talking about all the stuff. You got to understand, I'm too busy. I don't have time to watch the news, but I watched it. I was in there getting the oil changed in my truck, and I was watching this up there, and it's talking about all this stuff, and boy, I just got depressed, you know, wanted to run off and hide somewhere listening to the news. And they were talking about how Iran is, you know, doing all these nuclear bombs, and they're threatening they're going to blow the whole world up, and Israel's probably going to go into war with them and all this stuff. And then you got these nuclear bombs being made, countries against countries. The United States thinks we're supposed to be the police force for the whole world, and you got the United Nations is getting involved in all this stuff, and then you got the morals going in the United States and people not trusting in the Lord, and sin is at the fingertips in every single home through the computer and through other means and drugs. And look at our borders, man. They're just being overrun and all the drug court, everything going on. And then on top of that, you got Democrats and you got Republicans and you got this goofy president all in the middle of all this stuff. And everybody says, if you could get a different president, if we had a Republican president, you think he could fix all this? Do you think that a Republican president could go down there on the borders and stop all the sin from coming across the borders? Do Do you think that a Republican president, do you think the Democrats can stop the sin infestation into your home? Do you think that Israel getting involved is going to be able to stop all this sin? Do you think all that's going to take place? Do you think that if we had a Republican president, he could stop Iran from going crazy and trying to blow up the world? Listen, guys. We don't need a Democratic president. We don't need a Republican president. There ain't nothing that's going to fix all this trash in our world except one thing. And ain't nobody talking about it. And his name is God. And if we don't, his name is God. 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their lands. God is our only hope, guys. God is the only thing. He's the only one that can make a difference. Meanwhile, what do we do here at Circle J Cowboy Church? Man, we need to be praying. Look at verse 17. Now more than ever, not just in our church, not just in our families, not just in our jobs, not just in your personal life, but all over for what's going on for such a time as this. Look at verse 17. Paul was praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give us a spirit of wisdom. Guys, we need wisdom now more than ever. And I'm not talking about wisdom that comes from the world. We're talking about wisdom that comes from above. An old cowboy said, he said, yeah, I know exactly what wisdom about. Wisdom comes from a lot of experience, a lot of bad experiences. Well, listen, guys, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says wisdom from man does not come from worldly experiences. It says, look, how do you get wisdom? Anybody here want wisdom? You need wisdom? Wave your hand at me. You need wisdom? Yeah, I need wisdom. How do you get it? The Bible's very clear in how you get it. I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. You need wisdom in your life. Let's check it out. See what God says. Turn to your right, just a couple pages. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. It says, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking, here's the key, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge and of His will in all spiritual, here it is, wisdom and understanding. You pray. You need wisdom in your life. You pray. You ask God. James chapter 1 verse 5 says that if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally, but let him ask in faith. It says if you don't ask in faith and you don't trust Him to give you wisdom and you don't yield your own thinking to His way of thinking, He says that man is a two-faced man. He's tossed to and fro like the waves of the sea, and He says he ain't going to receive squat. So if you want wisdom in your life, you humble yourself before the Lord and you ask God to do it. It says here in Ephesians chapter 1, He says He prayed. He prayed for them to have wisdom. So if you want wisdom, pray. Ask God and ask Him in faith. Here's another question I have. What's the difference in man's wisdom and godly wisdom? It's a good question. What really is the difference in our way of thinking versus God's wisdom? What's man's ideas versus God's plan to fulfill through His Word? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5. Just over to your left a few pages. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I encourage you to put funny faces in your Bible, right? On your Bible. Put dog ears in your Bible. Don't make that thing look pretty now. I can't stand new stuff. Y'all like new stuff? I don't like new stuff. If y'all ever see me wear a white felt hat, it's a hat I bought last year, and it looks like it's 100 years old. And the guy said, what are you buying this white, clean felt hat for? I said, because it reflects the sun. Sometimes I like to wear felt hats in the summertime, and a black hat just cook you. And he said, this thing's going to show dirt. I said, it'll show dirt the first day I get it because I'm going to chunk it down in the dirt. He said, you're going to do what? I said, I'm serious. I'm getting this hat to work in. It's a using hat. Okay? Use your Bible, guys. Use it. Use it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5 talks about man's wisdom. Y'all beat me to the scripture. Look at you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5. All right, I'm there. It says, and your faith might not rest in wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You see that? Our faith is not to rest. We're not to put faith in the ability of this church. We're not to put faith in the ability of your employer. We're not to put faith in the ability of our government or everything we've been talking about. Guys, we are to put our faith in the ability of God. Now, let me ask you, how many things are you really, I'm talking about between you and God, you're sitting there before God, and y'all sit down, you got your legs crossed, and you're having this conversation, and you say, God, what am I really trusting you to do in my life? That's a good question. What are you really trusting God to do versus what you're doing on your own understanding, what you're doing, what I'm doing, decisions that we're making based on the way we were raised to be, amount of money we got coming through our jobs, or what's going on. What are you really trusting God to do? What is the worldly wisdom that you're hanging on to in your life versus God's wisdom versus what God is directing you to do? The scripture says, look here, it says, so that your faith might not rest in man's wisdom. Guys, if we do it, I think he's saying we're going to do nothing but mess it up. What you and I think is wrong. Our way of thinking is not God's way of thinking. Look while you're there in 1 Corinthians at chapter 3 and verse 18. Chapter 3 and verse 18, he repeats himself. He says, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, okay? If he thinks he's wise in this age, in this current age, let him become a fool that is not become wise. So what God's saying here, for the wisdom of the world is foolishness. The way we think is foolishness to God. We don't think like God. We don't think like God. So see, listen, we've got to come to a point in our own personal lives that we let God do the thinking for us. We don't think like God. We've got to let God and your family and your jobs and our church and our nation. We've got to come to the point where we let God do the thinking for us. It's what the Bible says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, we're to lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge Him, and He'll make our path straight. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You see, you and I must understand that what you and I are not capable of thinking the way God wants us to think. And we can only make right decisions when He's thinking for us and thinking through us. The wisdom of God, listen to this, the wisdom of God is different than worldly wisdom. The wisdom of God is different than worldly wisdom through man's way of thinking, man's ideas versus God's plans. It's different. All right, question number three. Y'all with me? Say, aye. All right, you there, some of you. Some of you weren't there when you got here. I don't know what to deal with that. Never mind. All right, question number three. How to get more wisdom? I want more wisdom. I got a little bit. I want to get more. How do you get more wisdom? My brother's not here this morning. I can just speak freely, okay? It's funny how we get wisdom. I was out bush hogging a while back, And it was a pretty good sized pasture, and I was shredding. It took me 25, 30 minutes or so to get around the pasture one time. And I see him drive up in his truck. He wants to ride a tractor with me. Well, it's an open air tractor, you know, got a good flat fender. So he piles up on top of the tractor, and we're just talking up storm, boogity, 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 boogity. I had remembered these little black things. Well, they weren't little black things. They were kind of big black things, about that big around. And I'd go past this one spot, and I'd see a few of them fly up, okay? And I forgot all that I was starting to get close to this thing called a hornet's nest. And so we're talking in the carrying on, and I'm about third gear, and I'm just, everything's just clicking along. Dead center, that hornet's nest. Dead center. I'm talking about dead center. Oh! I tell you boys a secret, if you stay still, they won't sting you. Especially when there's a fool next to you, you go, ah! All I did is I turned to eighth gear and I grabbed out and went, ooh! And I was staying as still as I could. They were tearing his butt up. I didn't get stung one time. I learned a piece of wisdom that day. That a hornet flies considerably faster than a John Deere tractor. So, how do you get more wisdom? How do you get more wisdom? Here's a great word of advice of how you can get more wisdom. Listen, humble yourself before God. Humble yourself before God. God, in reverence, in worship, in obedience to His commands and to His word. Humble yourself before the Lord. Psalms 111 verse 10, write that down. It says, we ought to fear God. It's the beginning of wisdom. Fear, we ought to fear Him. We ought to be afraid of what's going to happen if we don't believe in Him. If we don't trust Him, we ought to fear what's going to happen if we don't put our faith in Him. We ought to fear God if we don't obey God. Let me ask you a question that I ask our leadership many times. We say maybe in a budget or something or at home, what's it going to cost us to do this? A decision at home or in ministry, what's it going to cost you? How about answering this question? What's it going to cost you if you don't obey the Lord? It's a good question. We ought to fear. The beginning of how to get more wisdom is to humble yourself before the Lord. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says, not only in wisdom, but all in knowledge, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So we are to humble ourselves before God. All right, one last question. You ready? Here we go. Question number 4. How do you move from your wisdom to wisdom that comes from above? How do you change your thinking to wisdom that comes from above? Turn to back of your Bible, James chapter 3. I'm going to look at verse 17. Towards the back of your Bible, James chapter 3. By the way, if you want to get into the Word, don't start reading up at the front of the Bible. You don't read the Bible like a book or a novel. You ought to turn to James. And don't even worry about reading the whole book of James. If you find one scripture that applies to you, write it down on a piece of paper and try to live that one scripture. That'd be good enough. You'll have your brain racked out in about a week, just like me. Get in the book of James, powerful book on how to live. Here's an example of that. It says in James chapter 3, verse 17, God gives us a description of what wisdom is. He also gives us a description of what wisdom that comes from above is not. In verse 17, look at it. It says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. It means it's holy. It's thinking about His agenda. Then peaceable, and then gentle. See, wisdom's not pushy, it's not arrogant, it's not unpeaceable, it's pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's open to reason, it's full of mercy, mercy, and good fruits. It's wisdom is to do things for, to produce fruits for Him. It's impartial. It's sincere. Sincere. Now, look at verse 14 and 15. Look at verse James 3, 14 and 15. That talks about worldly wisdom. Now listen to what it calls our way of thinking. Worldly wisdom. It calls it demonic. Demonic. That means our way of thinking is originated from the pits of hell. It's demonic. Look at verse 14 and 15, same chapter. But if you have bitter, there's a key, you're bitter over things, trying to make decisions in your life, your job, your family, church, country. If you're bitter, if there's bitter, jealousy, selfish ambition in your hearts, it says, do not boast and be false to the truth. In verse 15, it says, this is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, is unspiritual. And looky there, there's that word. It says it's demonic. It's demonic. So we've got to be careful. We've got to be real careful. Look back at Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to go back to the original verse. We'll start shutting things down here. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Again, is the passage that we're talking about here today in this series. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give us a spirit of wisdom. And we've talked about that in four ways to have that. You ask God for it. There's a huge difference in man's wisdom and God's wisdom. We've talked about how to get more wisdom. We've talked about how to move from our wisdom to wisdom that comes from above and what it looks like. But look at this. It says that we may have more wisdom, have a spirit of wisdom, and look here, revelation in the knowledge of Him. Revelation. What is revelation? It's a big fancy word. I don't run around on the backside of a horse or down there at the feed store saying, I had a revelation. But that really is something that happens, and really God does show us things. It's kind of like this little boy that's down there at the feed store the other day. And he was sitting out there, and he's waiting on his daddy to come out. He's inside Miller Bowie ordering his feed. And this guy walked by, and he said, son, do you know where the post office is? And the boy said, yeah, I know where the post office is. You go down here, and you turn to the right, and you cut up down here, and then you go straight down there, and it'll be on your left. He said, all right, thank you. He said, son, he said, I'm a new pastor here in town, and I'd like to invite you to come to church Sunday morning. The little boy said, all right. And he said, if you come to church Sunday morning, son, I'll tell you how to get to heaven. The little boy had a revelation. He said, ah. He said, you can't tell me how to get to heaven. You don't even know how to get to the post office. That ain't the kind of revelation I'm talking about. But in Galatians 2:2 tells us a lot more about the kind of revelation that comes from God. Paul received this type of revelation. He said, and I went in response to a revelation. He went and he walked in obedience and he preached the message that was revealed to him from heaven in a revelation. In Galatians chapter 1, 11 and 12, Paul said this, that I'm not doing something that man made up. He said, I'm not preaching the words. I'm not doing a ministry that man made up. I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. He received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask, let's just get this thing right here where we're at today and what God's doing in our country right now. What has been revealed by revelation from heaven to us right now? What has God sovereignly shown us and told us to do as Christians right now? What is a revelation that we can get our hands on? That you and I can understand, we can see, feel, and touch. This is a revelation from God. It is called the Cowboy Church Movement. It is church for the unchurched. That is a revelation from God. It started not just with me and others. God moved in our hearts. I realized that there was a culture being left behind when I was preaching and singing in PRCA rodeos. There was no cowboy church. And then Ron Nolan and I met some 8-9 years ago, and Ron started a cowboy church called Cowboy Church of Ellis County that's now running 2,500 people. And now there's 200 plus cowboy churches with probably another 30 or 40 plus in the making. Guys, it is called the Cowboy Church Movement. It is worship in a different style. I went to a funeral this last week, an incredible funeral. The pastor did just an unbelievable job from an Assembly of God church. There were two cowboy hats in there, mine and somebody else's. And every single song at the funeral was a country song. God has opened the door, the Western heritage culture and country music and the old-fashioned way that church used to be done is a revelation from God. And you can relate to that because you're here. I had somebody tell me this week, I can't go. And he said to the church that he used to go to, he said, I don't feel welcome there. I don't feel comfortable there. He said, I can't go there. It's a revelation from God. The way we worship the Lord, our style of dress. Jesus said, come as you are. Not try to be somebody that you're not. He said, bring all your trash, all your sin problems to me, and I'll give you rest. You want to hear another revelation? This is a revelation that God has given me, your pastor. This is something that He has wrenched me over. This is something that I will live and breathe or die over, because my accountability is to the Lord. Whom I'm accountable is Him. And this is a statement that may sound simple to you, but it's a revelation from God in my life. And that is that we are to take the use of money and convert it to souls through the use of dirt. What? We're to take the use of money and convert it to souls through some dirt. And what is the Cowboy Church Movement trying to do? We're not trying to create a sterile environment and get the dirt out of it. We want to go have church in the dirt. Just like I'm forgiven, people can relate to the arena. People can relate to dirt. They can relate to country music. So that's what my life is about. My calling is a pastor. What God's going to hold Todd Hervey accountable when I stand in judgment before Him? Say, son, you had all of these resources of money, and you could have reached all of these souls with that money, but you didn't have the faith. You didn't put your faith and trust in me. I don't want God to look at me and say, son, oh, you have little faith. So, guys, we are to pray and ask God for the wisdom that comes from Him. I want to ask you a question. Let's get real for just a minute. What is it right now that you're going through that you're not trusting, you're not allowing, you're not letting in God's wisdom in your life? What is it that you're going through at home that you have fallen into that trap and you've taken matters into your own hands? And you're leaning on your own understanding. And in all of your ways, you're acknowledging what you think and what you ought to do. What is it in your career, in your line of work, in the way you're making a living, that you're not asking God, you're not believing God, you're not trusting in His wisdom because it's so different than the way you're thinking right now? What is it in your ministry, in your ministry teams, that you've taken over, you've snatched God's ministry away from Him, and you're doing it on your own instead of working in the wisdom that comes only from heaven? I don't know what that is, guys, but I have to encourage you to trust God. Please Listen to me. Listen. Please listen to me, guys. Stop going the direction you're going, leaning on your own understanding, and turn to God and seek wisdom that comes from above. And right now, I want to pray this scripture over you that we've been studying in Ephesians chapter 1. I want to pray this scripture over me. I pray it every day. And I'm going to encourage you this week to pray and ask God to give you wisdom in the situations and the trials of life that you're going through, and revelation and understanding in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, you've got it written plain for us. Lord, help us to be people, men and women and young people of faith and love towards each other. And Lord, we're going to pray right now in Jesus' name that you give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of you. Lord, we can't do that. The only way we can receive this type of wisdom is from you. And so we're begging you to do that. Before we leave, it would be foolish for me to not challenge you to obey God and whatever He's leading you to do. I will say this, that if you're here and you're uncertain about whether you're forgiven or not, I would encourage you to turn to Jesus Christ. Because on one side of forgiveness, there's great joy and fulfillment and understanding that if you die, you're going to heaven. On the other side of forgiveness is eternal damnation in a place called hell. It's inescapable. You cannot get away from it. You can't get out of it. It is for all eternity, and your mind is clear, and you'll be regretting the day that you turned your back on God and didn't surrender to Him. On the other side of forgiveness, there will be no more pain, no more tears. There will be only heaven. The opposite side of forgiveness, only damnation. What will it cost you if you don't make that decision to follow Christ? It will cost you everything. So while breath still lays in your body, turn to Jesus. I would encourage you now to pray this prayer with me as a prayer of repentance, to turn to Him and surrender and ask to be forgiven. Just say, God, in Jesus' name, I know my life needs to change, just between you and Him. And say, will you forgive me of all the wrong and all the choices in my life? And I pray to receive Jesus in my life right now. And you invite Him in. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.